Hallelujah. What I think I was going to do this morning, I think I was just going to read you some scriptures this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn them to 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. Beginning at the 6th verse, and now we'll be reading similar to the King James, but I'll be reading from the New American Standard. 2 Corinthians, first chapter, verse 6. And it starts off as, "But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patience, enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer." Verse 7. "And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of the suffering, so also you are sharers of our comfort." Verse 8. "For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, our afflictions which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life." Verse 9, "Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead." And verse 10, "Who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and will deliver us, he on whom we set our hope, and he will yet deliver us." 2 Corinthians, go to chapter 4. Starting with verse 16. "Therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day." Amen. Verse 17, "For momentarily light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison." Yeah. Verse 18, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal." Y'all with me so far? Let's go to the book of James. Chapter 1 and verse 9. "But the brother of humble circumstances is to glory in his high position." Verse 10. "And the rich man is to glory in his humiliation, because like flowering grass, he will pass away." For my title or topic, I'm going to use, "When you look, what do you see?" When you look, what do you see? We are going through the passing of time. This past new year became a year that we are getting older. In the next 12 months, we are becoming somebody. We're becoming in one of those months a year older. Paul is saying here that even though we are getting older on the outside, we are to becoming younger on the inside. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, which we just read, he said, "Even though our outward man is decaying," and I don't know if you know that or not, but the outward man is decaying. No matter how much makeup you put on, the outward man is decaying. No matter how many times you go to the doctor to get certain things done, the outward man is decaying, and we are getting older. Paul says, I am getting younger on the inside. When you look, what do you see? I think it was mentioned earlier that on January the 1st, you know, the chains were broken and we became free, but the Lord also did one more thing. And, you know, sometimes you can have stuff and know stuff, but if you don't use it or don't know you have it, you won't take advantage of it. And one of the things that came to me, he says, he improved our vision. He improved our vision. When the struck 12 midnight, we are headed toward a year older on the outside. And on the inside, if we're becoming older on the inside, something is wrong. Because he says that on the inside, I am being renewed. I am just getting started on the inside, even though I am decaying on the inside, rather, even though I'm decaying on the outside. He says, why is this? Paul's perspective is this. He says he is getting younger while going through affliction. He says, I am going through affliction and I am getting younger. Now, normally that doesn't work. Because when we are going through affliction, we are getting actually aging. We are getting older. We look at getting more wrinkles and everything because of the stress and the affliction and the circumstances that we are going through, so we are getting older. We look at getting more wrinkles, getting stress. Paul says, no, though my outward man is perishing, is decaying, I am getting younger. And the reason is that I've learned to look on the things not seen. Because the things that are seen are passing away. I'm so glad y'all got that. I'm talking to an intelligent group here this morning. He says, what is keeping me young is what I'm looking at. When the clock struck midnight, we are younger. Although we are headed toward a year older on the outside. Because we are looking at something else. And what I'm looking at, you can't see. That I am looking at the things that cannot be seen. I have a spiritual perspective on my troubles. Paul says about you and me, about our troubles and our affliction, he said, I even despaired of life. I looked beyond what I was going through to the spiritual purpose of God. This year, when the chains were broken and we became free, not only have we the chains have broken, but we changed. We have changed. But also we have got to know what we're looking at. I'm not saying to deny your problems, not pretending that they don't exist, pretending that they aren't there. I'm saying that they are, I'm not saying that they are not real. I'm saying that you have got to look beyond it. I hear you, Brother Colin. So glad to see you, brother. You say, but Pastor, how do I do that? Well, how do you look beyond this, the reality of your pain, the reality of your hurt, your loneliness? How do you look beyond the reality of your struggles? It's all real. First of all, whatever you're looking at, you can see. You're looking at circumstances, you can see them. Situations, personal problems, things that you can see. That's what you're looking at. And all you see, if all you see is what you see, you're not seeing all there is to be seen. If all you can see is what you see, then you're not seeing all there is to be seen. For beyond what you can see is what you can't see that you ought to be seeing. Y'all got that? It took me a minute. If all you see is what you see, then you're not seeing all there is to be seen. Until you see what you can't see, you will not be able to see all there is to be seen. Behind everything that you can't see is something for you to look at you can't see. Look at it this way. When God allows disruption in your life, you know that the flow, the cord, it seems like you just had a broken connection. And that cord that flows from God to us doesn't seem to be there. God is up to something. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Unless you understand that, then all you will do is react to what you just saw. And a lot of times we do that. We quickly react to what we see. Because you didn't make the connection that there is something else beyond what I'm looking at. Whenever you get in a situation where whichever way you turn looks bad, remember God is up to something. Y'all remember Israel? They didn't know which way to turn. God had them in a position where Pharaoh was coming at them this way, and you tried to get away this way, you had the Red Sea that way. And God allowed that situation in Israel's life because God was up to something. Amen. All Israel saw was what they saw. Amen. And because what they saw wasn't good, they wound up fussing and complaining and crying and saying all sorts of things. Amen. They didn't understand that when God put them in that situation, God wanted to unveil something to them. Amen. Something that they couldn't see. He wanted to unveil it to them. You say like Israel says, I can't see it. Of course you can't see it because it is not in the physical realm. Amen. When things are falling apart in your world or things are falling apart in your life, God is up to something. Amen. The problem is that we can't see it with these eyes. We can't see it in the physical. The problem is we don't make the jump from physical to spiritual, from physical to spiritual. We stay in the physical. And truth be told, that's what we do for the most part. Every time something happens, we see a problem coming, we look right at that problem, and that's what we see. We see in the spiritual. We don't look beyond that to see, God, why is this happening? God, I know you're up to something. We stay in the physical. And that is why we are frustrated. We get angry, irritated, all because we stay in that realm that we are no longer obligated to. In the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12. And starting with verse 25. He says, see to it that you don't refuse him who is speaking. For if those who did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, talking about Moses, much less shall we escape who turn away from him who warns us from heaven. And his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. Verse 27. And this expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which cannot be shaken, as of created things, in order that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude, by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. And let us add it, verse 29, for our God is a consuming fire. Amen. Have an unshakable kingdom, a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us show gratitude, by which we may offer to God an acceptable service of reverence and awe. He is simply saying this. When God shakes things in the visible, physical realm, It is to reveal something in the invisible realm. Amen. But if you don't know that, and if you don't respond to that, like when you read in, I think, the book of Matthew, the 24th chapter, you don't have to go there. You pretty much know what it is. Is that when you hear the worldwide wars that are going on, wars and rumors of wars, when you hear all about all manner of upheaval, when you see the earth groan, and even the passage there, it says, once more I will shake the earth and will disrupt the sea. When you look at that and the fact that there are going to be three events that usher in Jesus Christ. Number one, the rise of Babylon. That's Iraq. Number two, the unification of Europe that has already happened in 1948. And number three, because Israel becoming a nation again. And you will have worldwide terrorism, which we already know. And you have upheaval all of the seas. And if you have CNN news, you can make it worldwide in minutes. The minute that it happens, you know about it. You know about it the minute that it happens. You understand that your redemption draws nigh. In addition to that, when you compare the fact that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day, that's in 2 Peter, then all you got to do is make a computation. And a computation is really an act or action of calculating mathematically. If 1,000 years is as a day, and Jesus died 2,000 years ago, that means it's been 2 days based on God's timetable. Now, that all these things are happening in the prophetic table, and now that we are in day two, based on God's 1,000-year as a day, and based on a day as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day, you put all that together, you understand that while something physical is happening, something spiritual is going on. Remember when Jesus was born and Herod said, you know, going to kill all the baby boys 2 and under? Why was Satan trying to get into that? Well, because God was up to something. God was doing something, and so the evil things were active. Somebody said that Satan was really unleashed doing all the evil that he can now, because he knew that the end draws nigh. You have to begin, I guess, have to begin looking at the spiritual realm and not the physical realm. He says, to see that you do not refuse him who is speaking. This is in the Old Testament, in Exodus, and I think it's repeated in Deuteronomy chapter 5, I believe. God came down on top of the mountain and shook the mountain. The Bible says it was like thunder and lightning. It was trouble. And the people said, we are not going over there. All they saw was the physical things that were going on over there. God says, come near. And do you know what they did? What they said? They said, Moses, you go and tell us what God says, because we ain't going. Moses says, don't be afraid. God is shaking things up there because he wants you to come near. They said, you go, Mo. We ain't going. And God said to Moses, send them back to their tents, and you come to me. And the Bible says that Moses went to God, and God told Moses his secrets. Listen, that is not the time to go the other way when you're in trouble, when there's trouble. That's not the time to do like Israel did, to refuse him who is speaking. That is not the time to give God, that is the time to give God your undivided attention. If he created the chaos in your life, that is because he is trying to get your undivided attention. And your bad situation, I can tell you right now, your bad situation is good news. You've got to change how you are thinking. Your bad situation is good news. In Hebrew 12, he says, show gratitude. If you are in a bad situation, the thing is that we saw it in the beginning in praise and worship. If you're in a bad situation, get your praise on. You say, why? Because chaos in the physical realm means that God is up to something in the spiritual realm. If you draw, he said, if you draw near to me, draw near to God, you won't see it as long as you keep your distance, saying, it's bad, and I can't go over there. God don't want you to depend on what Moses is going to say. He wants you to draw near to him. He wants to share his secrets with you personally. This morning, I don't know if you're discouraged, if you're in pain. I know it hurts if you're struggling with something. I don't understand it. You said, Lord, I don't understand. Why is this? Why am I going through this? Why is this happening? Why is that happening? But I'm going to ask you to do something really hard this morning. I'm going to ask you, in the midst of all this stuff that's happening in your life, I'm going to ask you to give gratitude, give thanks. So many times, you know, and believe me, I have everything that I'm telling you, I have been through already. That's why when you give a word, I guess God wants you to give it with conviction. And if you have experienced something, you can speak with more authority because you know God brought you through. There have been times when things have gotten so bad, so rough, so tore up. And I think the scripture says putting it simple in layman's terms, what Paul was saying, it says, I wanted to take my own life. Things do get that bad sometimes. Whether you do it or not, the thought do come when it depends on how bad or how much stuff is coming upon you. But we have to understand, through all those times, I got to see beyond that mess and see that when God, why did this happen? I used to ask a lot, God, why in the world did this happen? What am I doing wrong? But in all those things, in all those times, you got to look beyond that and see that God is up to something good. And it only took that one time to bring me through that, for me to see that. The rest of the times weren't quite as hard. You don't get it until you get it. Because sometimes you just feel like screaming. You know, you just, so much stuff happening. And you just feel like screaming. You lose your job. You got all this stuff, all these responsibilities. The kids need this. You don't know how you're going to do that. And as you got all this stuff going on, then something else comes up. You know, trouble don't wait for a good time to come in. Trouble comes in, you know, whenever it comes in. And Satan is more affected with trouble when you already got stuff on your plate. That's why we have to thank God and give him gratitude in the midst of everything that we're going through. I like the testimony Colin gave this morning. It is no secret because he gave the testimony this morning. It's about gaining custody. Nobody thought you could do it. Friends, close friends probably said, man, I don't know how you're going to do that. It was hard at times. You had to sacrifice and give up some things sometimes to be where you're supposed to be. But I love the way you said you started off. He says, I got to see you on weekends and I got joint custody, and they went on for 2 years. But God was working behind the scenes even then. But he was working with you. And we don't understand it all the times. But when you got over and says, now I have joint custody, God is with you all the time. It's good. That's just to make you stronger. Things are going to come up. Situations are going to come up in all our lives. But you look back and say, Lord, look what you brought me. Look what you did. You looked at an impossible situation with man and you made it possible. There's nothing that can go on in our life. I don't care how bad it seems, how bad it is, or how impossible it looks, that God is not doing something on your behalf. The only thing he asks us to do is continue to praise and worship him. And know for a fact that he is doing something behind the scenes. He is moving on our behalf for our good. You know, I like to continue to think about how we wanted land. And let me get these points to remember. And these are good points to remember. The physical is just that. It is all the stuff that we can see. And we want to see beyond that to what God is doing in the spiritual realm. Remember, when chaos is shaking our lives, God is up to something. Don't run away, but come nigh and listen to him who is speaking. And the last one is, in your chaos, always give thanks. Show gratitude. God will deliver. Every time. Anyone here that